Let's read chapter 15, St. Matthew's. We'll read just a little bit here. 21st verse, 15th chapter Matthew's. It's concerning the Canaanite woman's faith. Then Jesus went thence and departed into the coast of Tyre and Sidon. And behold, a woman of Canaan came out of the same coast and cried unto him, saying, Have mercy on me, O Lord, thou son of David. My daughter is grievously vexed with the devil. But he answered her not a word. And his disciples came and besought him, saying, Send her away, for she crieth after us. But he answered and said, I am not sent but unto the lost sheep of the house of Israel. Then came she and worshipped him, saying, Lord, help me. But he answered and said, It is not meet to take the children's bread and to cast it to dogs. And she said, Truth, Lord. Yet the dogs eat of the crumbs which fall from their master's table. Then Jesus answered and said unto her, O woman, great is thy faith. Be it unto thee even as thou wilt. And her daughter was made whole from that very hour. You know, we ought to take this as a lesson. Sometimes we're curious as to whether God really meant that, as we say, concerning male or female. But here it is. It's one place that's recorded in the Bible, whereas there's numbers of places. But like as of here, this is recorded in the Bible as to a woman, just a simple Canaanite woman. And yet God Almighty, through a human voice, said, Great is thy faith, woman. So it doesn't matter whether it's a man or whether it's a woman. Sometimes it's a man. Sometimes it's a woman. It just depends on faith. See, God isn't concerned about how pretty we think we are, how handsome we think we are, how intelligent we think we are, how brilliant or how skillful or whatever it might be. He is interested in faith, in the righteousness of his son. For all that we do is of the old bastard child image, and it means nothing to God. But when we are born again, or when we come in faith, there is a purification. And that purification, by faith, God purifies our hearts. And then we are like a sparkling jewel in the eyes of the Savior. You're so beautiful because then he sees his son Jesus, that pleaseth him well. But aside from that, all of our ambition, all of our doings, all of our thoughts, all of the things that we do really means nothing to God. God doesn't even look at it. He can't even look upon it. The whole world is in a condition of iniquity and deceitfulness, and he can't even look at it. So he's not going to make a fuss over it because he doesn't even see it. The Bible said, love not the world, neither the things that are in the world, for all that's of the world is the pride of life and the lust of the flesh. And of course, you're of the world. When you're born into the world, you're of the world. And all the things that's in the world is of the world. It's like I was saying this evening that Judas, I get to preaching a little bit, might not get to teach tonight. But anyway, I have to drop in a little bit of both. But Judas betrayed the Lord for 30 pieces of silver. Isn't that right? He betrayed him for 30 pieces of silver. And one would say, well, I'd never do that. But there's some that has betrayed him for less than that. As a matter of fact, we were just talking about some today that swapped him off for a pair of ice skates and then didn't even get the skates. But somebody says, my, what are you talking about? I'm talking about half of our youth along with some of our married folks. Let's give the Lord a hand. Hi, you say at Bethlehem, believe it or not. Believe it or not. Right here in Bethlehem. Somebody said, well, I thought all that was covered up. It was. You had it covered real good, and the Bible said you won't prosper because you covered your sins. But it did say your sins would find you out. Somebody says, bless God, you mean to tell me that? I mean to tell you that's the love of the world, and the Bible says the love of the world's in you. The love of the Father's not that. Somebody tell me I'm wrong. Stand up and tell me I'm wrong. Give me some scripture. Give me some scripture. All right. So then, somebody says, well, don't you think it would be all right to ice skate, Brother Pike? I don't care if you roller skate, ice skate, whatever, you know, and play ball too. And if the parents will buy some skates and buy some balls, I think that's wonderful, as long as Junior and Sissy, the little ones, play with it. But when Mom and Daddy quits and they go professional, And when grown-up boys and girls have to go ice skating, Paul said, when I was a child, I spake as a child. I acted like a child. When I got grown up, then I put away childish things. That didn't sit too well with the fellow on my right in the balcony there. He doesn't think that's cute at all, but I do. Let's give him another. Hallelujah. Somebody say praise the Lord. Glory to God. I just love to talk about Jesus and say those wonderful things. Hallelujah. All right. I see some of them clapping with me that's been doing the skating. Must have done them some good. Hallelujah. All right. Okay, so well, Pastor, don't be too hard. I'm not trying to be hard on you. I just want to tell it like it is, you say. Now, you tell it like it is, so we tell it like it is. But anyway, getting back to our thought here, because I sure would like to get into some revelation tonight. Great is thy faith, woman. Great is thy faith. You know, I talked about the garden this morning, and there was a lot of things I wanted to say, and I didn't get to say them. But as to that, there at the garden, what caused the problem? Someone said, well, I think what caused the problem was the debauchery of the act of Adam and Eve. No, that didn't have a thing to do with it. Not a thing. Not a thing. Then what caused the problem? It was unbelief. Unbelief. Somebody was, well, I think it's the other way around. Well, if it's the other way around, then that means everybody is in a mess. Because the Bible said there's none good, no, not one. All have gone astray. So that makes you know, too, that that takes you in as well as everybody else. So see, if that's the problem, then the whole case is lost. But in that that was not the problem, but the problem was unbelief, because God said, thou shalt not eat of that tree. And Eve disbelieved when she heard another voice that said, eat. And it was told her that the day that you eat thereof, ye shall surely die. But another voice said, thou shalt not surely die. So the devil, you know, he's real cunning, not surely. He couldn't do away with the word of God, so he just kind of improved on it as to his way of life, you know, and as to deceive her a little bit. Just a little bit of skating on the side, or just a little bit of watching the non-virtuous things, a little bit of sipping on beer, and a little bit of this, and a little bit of that, you know. And the little foxes spoil the vines, because our vines have tender grapes. So then, this moderation as to this generation says, well, if you drink a little whiskey, it doesn't hurt. But the Bible says a little leaven is what leavened the whole lump. Let's give the Lord a hand. All right, so when you got the devil in you, you're going to get a sip. And once he gets a sip, he's going to persuade you that you need to take a drink. And after that, you can have a whole bottle. The trouble was that it was unbelief. It was unbelief. And folks, because of that unbelief, if we can get into the thoughts of the Lord here, the thought, because of that unbelief, it brought damnation. It brought death. And if we could have went on this morning, when the anointing was working and when you was hungry, we could have explained a lot of things. The Spirit would have spoke a lot of things. Well, as he did speak a lot of things, but when you come at night, it's different. Most people expect an evangelistic service at night where you scream and holler, you know, and then you pray for the sick and you shout and dance and all these kind of things. They call it the evangelistic service. To me, being evangelistic is to go into all the world and act like Jesus and tell the world about Jesus, even though I have to admit that we've done all the things as to holler and dance and praise the Lord and everything else. And that's wonderful. That's wonderful. That's wonderful. For when I was a child, I went skating. See, but when I become a man, then I change my way of doing. And the world is a bunch of babies. In church, they want to dance, they want to holler, they want to shout, they want to do all these things. And as I've said before, you know, once in a while a dad might walk out, have a ball, if his kids is playing ball, and he pick it up and throw it to him, you know. He might do that, but he don't get out there and start a ball game. Like a vision I had here, we was having some trouble here at the campground, and I thought, well, I wonder what it is. So I prayed, and of course the lady over the hill here, that she lives on the campground, she's got a nice big family, but I saw her just playing ball, and boy, they were playing ball. And this was the problem. Then I had another vision. I asked the problem, and I looked, and the whole congregation was sound asleep. Couldn't hear a thing I said. All right. So then we know that if we be drunken off of the cares of life, we are drunken in the night, because the night is the intellectual clouds of doubt and darkness. There is an intellectual shadow of death. And that shadow of death abides with you continually from your birth. And it never leaves you at any time unless you are born again. And then when the light of Christ comes into your heart, it eradicates the shadows, and the intellectual shadow of night is to the old tree of knowledge. It vanisheth away. And then Christ, the great word as to the spirit and light, is there in its stead. And so then this thing is great and this thing is mighty. Here we find that there is light. There is light in our heart. Within our heart, there comes forth a day star. And this day star dawns within our heart. And when this light comes, as I said earlier, that God, who commanded the light to shine out of darkness, hath commanded this light to shine within our heart, that it might reveal to us the glory of God as to the knowledge of this glory in the face of Christ Jesus. As beholding ourselves within a mirror, as in the face of Jesus, by the faith of the Lord, we're changed from glory to glory. And we brought out a little bit of something this morning while the light was turned on and while the Spirit of God was moving. We brought out a little bit about from glory to glory as what this has to do with. When you come to these things as from glory to glory, you're moving on from glory to glory, and these things are making themselves known unto you. So we see that in the garden, the problem was unbelief. And the thing that took place, we spoke the other day of a word, transology. As to these things that we've been ministering lately, they pertain to transology. And this as to the garden, we see that here Adam and Eve loses something. That's why later the Lord said, you cover with a covering, but not of me. And that's why he said this to Adam and Eve. There's no need to try to put fig leaves on. That doesn't do away with the nakedness. He said as to this generation that you're naked, you're blind. And why did he say that they were naked? For the same reason that Adam and Eve saw that they were naked. Why is it that this lukewarm Laodicean church age is naked? Because he said, I counsel of you to buy of me raiment that's tried in the fire. And he said, put ye on the Lord Jesus Christ, and make no provision for the flesh. He that has been baptized into Christ, he hath put on Christ. And so then, we are as a people, unless we're born again, found naked. Because we are just exactly like he found them in the garden. And people are pretty well proving that in the day that we're living in. But nevertheless, we are, without the new birth, exactly that way. He said, you have a covering. And that covering, of course, was skins. He put them on skins. I said before that the fig leaves would not do, because the first covenant, as to the water covenant, as to the lifeline of the trees, they had eaten that as their meat, and he said, your meat shall be that of the fruit of the trees. And that was their lifeline. But when they violated that, they failed, as I said the other day, to another level, and that level was as to the beast level. And then they could not cover themselves as with a covering as to the fig leaves, which relates back to the Jews. And they could not cover it with that, but they had to cover it with skins. He put them on skins. And so then they were covered with the skins. And then he looked at him and he said, you cover with a covering, but not of me. That is to say, the infiltration of that intellectual cloud of darkness that's on the inside of your body, in that there's no good thing within the flesh, that fleshly image of the devil is the old beast body, that first birth that will be despised in the morning unless you kill it, bury it by faith in the Lord Jesus, and bring forth a new body as being resurrected in another form. In the morning I will despise your image, he said. We find that that infiltration in the body is a mind. It is a spirit. It is a life. And your covering is now the intellectual reasoning as to human ego and human desire as to go out into the world and do the things of the world and gullibly swallow up the things of the world and love the things of the world and the things of the flesh. For I just said, Satan save us the things that be of the flesh because he's the god of this world. All right, so then we can tell by this that we have to be born again. I counsel of you to put on the right kind of garment. Don't come in here without the wedding garment, he said. Don't try to get in here through your religious hypocrisy and your formalities as to come to this feast of charity. This is the marriage supper of the Lamb. And don't come here like that. Don't try to ease in, because you may slip in while there is blood on the seat of atonement and the rain upon the just and the unjust. And nobody will notice you because you are a reflector. And you can't tell the differences between the real and that which is hypocritical. The Bible said, unless you be elect, you can't tell the difference. For it would deceive, as it would be the very elect, if it was possible. So then don't slip in here, he said, because after a while it's going to be discovered. It's going to be discovered that you don't have on the body of the Lord Jesus Christ. That you're not bone of his bone, and you're not flesh of his flesh, and you've not been crucified with him by Calvary, nor buried in a watery grave to bring forth the image of the Lord Jesus Christ. For if we be buried with him in baptism, then we also shall rise with him, or we have risen with him as from death, having passed from death unto life. All right, there's so much we could say in that in the realm of Revelation, it would be so beautiful. But we see then by this that they lost something in the garden. What did they lose? They lost the covering of the Shekinah glory of God. Adam was not in the transgression as a man because he was in the image of God as to the covering. For it was said, let us make man in our own image. Come and let us make man in our own image. And so God made, as it was man, male and female, in his own image. Or that is, he made the man in his own image, and out of the male come the female. So then it was still making man in his own image. And when the woman is in the man, and the man is in Christ Jesus, which means the woman in the man, that means that the man, which is really the feminine part, is in the spirit, in that the real woman is the flesh and not as to female, as you call it in this world. See, so in this, when she is in a proper place, as we, you and I, as the feminine part, we are in Christ Jesus, we're no longer feminine, for in God there's neither male nor female. When the woman is in her husband, there's neither male nor female. They are but one, and that would be, as we would say, Mrs. Adam. And that is, as we would say, one, because the male was made in the likeness of God, and the woman belonging to the man, that's his body, bone of his bone and flesh of his flesh, and the church as to what the woman really is, the real woman is spiritually speaking, as to what the natural woman represents. So then in that you either represent the world as to your ugly, harlotry sort of a way, or your virtuous way of the church. See, and your husband is either as to the harlot, the satanic power called Lucifer, or as that wonderful righteousness of God, which is called Jesus Christ. All right, so then we know that we have a covering. The covering that they lost was the Shekinah image. And as long as they were in the Shekinah image, they had no fault. Because God could not look at them, he looked at the Shekinah image. And then when the Shekinah image was lost, then that was the expulsion. There was no more garden. There was no more blessing. The curse was then there because the intellectual mind of Lucifer got into the body, and the curse was upon Lucifer as to the ruler of the darkness, and that intellectual darkness took the human body, and then the dispute started over the body. For the dispute was as between the beast and between Adam, as to say, this is my wife. She is bone of my bone and flesh of my flesh. It was my rib that was taken out for this woman. And then the dispute was that Satan, being the god of this world, and it's come out of the dust, and it belongs to me. And so then when the Shekinah image lifted from Adam, then Adam went out of the garden, and then we beheld the woman. And through the woman, as to the flesh, and the weakness of the flesh, came those twins that we spoke about today. They had fallen to the beast's rim. And then came the birth of those twins. And those twins, as it was with Adam, all of this life was in the loins of Adam. And it was now not as it was in the beginning, that he was the Son of God without transgression. For now he was the feminine part, in that he had yielded to his wife. And now the satanic force that was in his wife, now had him, so then in Adam all die. And there was the double-mindedness, and that's where the twins came from. And so then when one is born into the world, it can be a son or a daughter of God. It can be a son or a daughter of the devil, and it can come from the same person. It can be in the same home, same mother and father. So that means that where the problem comes in is not as to a fleshly relation, which is an ordination of God as to multiply and replenish the earth, have the bed of the merit undefiled and all, but it is to the violation of the word, and it is a spiritual thing that even to look, to lust, for sin is in the world by lust. Eve looked at the tree. She lusted. It's to the lust of the eyes. Sin entered into the world. And then sin, and then death because of sin. So then we know that as to giving birth or life, as to the man or to the woman, as to the multiplying and replenishing in God's kingdom, spiritually speaking, we see that there is a replenishing also of Satan. But is God responsible then for the beast image in this world? Is God responsible for those that are beasts? And there are beasts that are in this world, some brute beasts made to be taken and burned. Then is God responsible? Aren't they the ones that do all the killing and the theft and the stealing, the fornication, the robbery, and all these kind of things? Now, did God put that in the world? Of course not. How do you know that? Because in the parable that Jesus gave, he gave the parable that when the good man had planted good seed and then had laid down to rest, then his enemy came along and planted the tares. And then when the time of the blade springing forth came, that he found both tare and wheat. And the servant said, and who did this? Did not you plant good seed? Then how is it that we have tares in the field? He said, this is because my enemy has done this. Shall we then pluck it up? He said, oh no. The roots get together. He said, if you do that, you'll pluck up the good wheat. He said, leave it alone. Let them all grow together. The rain upon the just and the unjust. And in the end of the world, I will send my angels when the harvest time comes, and I will cut them all down. And you find it over there where he's thrusting the sickle in. Thrusting the sickle. I brought it out not too long ago. Cut them all down, and they will be gathered into bundles, and the tares will be cast into the fire, and the wheat shall be gathered into my garners. Like I said the other day, if you'd looked in the paper, you would have seen the, what do they call them? The Zurds? I believe it's Zurds. I might have that wrong. I'm not too much up in this modern age of music. But anyway, the Zurds, they had to make more room for thousands of them. See, what was the Kurds? Okay, it ain't the Zurds, it's the Kurds. I remember reading it the other day, but I couldn't remember what it was. But anyway, see, maybe some of you that's listening to my voice belongs to the Kurd bundle. I don't know. But anyway, there is a bundle of the Woodsmans of the world, and there's a bundle of the Masons, and there's the bundle of the Ku Klux, and there's the bundle of the Kurds, and there's a bundle of the baseball players, and there's a bundle of the professional as to the preachers, and there's a bundle of the medical world as to the doctors and the nurses, and a bundle of the rock and rolls, and whatever it is, you know, any kind of bundle, but it's all bundles of tares and all bundles of the devil, and God is letting one go, whether it's with the little thing that the group of pilots do, or the little group that's got their boat at home, or whatever, you know, their club, and everybody is getting into their little group because God is putting them all in bundles. Some of them in bundles when it comes to college students. They're in bundles when it comes to high school. Some of them, even the those that are in a lower class of schooling, as to grammar school, has already got polluted, and they're in a little group of cocaine or whatever it might be as to their bundle. See, and all of this, but the Bible says that when God had done this, all of a sudden there was going to be a group that would come together, And this wonderful thing would be the mind of Jesus Christ that would take over the human family as two, the elect, and they would be gathered together in a unit, and all of a sudden the gravitational powers and forces of this world would lose its control, and up they would go as Peter walking on the water. See, the time is coming and is nigh at hand. So we know that Adam and Eve lost their covering. You cover with a covering, but not of me, as to the covering cherubs. See, you cover with a covering, but not of me. And we don't have time to get into the deep revelation of it tonight. But you cover with a covering, but not of me. That is your image as to the covering of your life, or your life on the inside of this image. This is a beast image by beast nature, satanic nature that is. And it is a covering for life, but it is not the body of the Lord Jesus Christ. As to the covering that I spoke of, that I gave you in the beginning, you've fallen from that covering. You've fallen from that illumination. You've fallen from that wonderful thing that God has given to you of his own bone and own flesh. So then that means that when Eve did that, she was then, as we would say, of the devil. She could not be of the devil, as we would say, in this day, because she didn't have enough knowledge. She was more like an innocent child. But so far as him having power to kill her, she was dead, because she had cut herself off from that great light. That shadow of intellectual doubt came in, and that intellectual darkness of shadows is the infiltration of the mind of the tree of knowledge, which is the world, as to a spirit. It had entered in, as we say, and now she was to die. She was to die. And the more that we come to the intellectual side of life, as to the diplomacies of life, of college and school and brilliance and knowing and all these things, more is required of us. And unto many, the Bible said, he gives the more, he'll require the more. For he said, I will require the more if I've committed more to your trust. So then, as we grow greater in knowledge every day, then that means we are more responsible, and we must pay more and more if we neglect to conform to the Lord Jesus Christ or fulfill these things that God has commanded us to do. The tree of knowledge, that's the world. The tree of life, that's the world. That's also a knowledge and understanding. That's life. That is a charitable life of edification as to the tree of life. The world of knowledge is an intellectual reasoning. Knowledge puffeth up. When the old serpent bites, it puffeth up. So then, knowledge brings self-esteem. And man lives by human reasoning. But when you come to God's world, God says, stop it right there. No more human reasoning, he says. Cast down every thought as to the imagination of your heart, and bring into captivity every thought to the obedience of the Lord Jesus Christ. Not to say yea and nay as to human way of reasoning, as to scientific definition, that is to say intellectual reasoning. But in this world, Paul said, yea, no nay to it, yea. I did not come to you preaching yea and nay as to the word of God. There is no reasoning with God. God doesn't have to figure something out. God doesn't have to reason about something and decide maybe he wants it or don't want it, or maybe this best, that's best. God is best, period. Paul said concerning his writing, he said, and they that seem to be somewhat in conference adds nothing to me. In other words, he said, the Lord's given me the revelation and that's it. And so when I preach to you, he said, I just preach yea. Yea, for all the promises of God are yea and amen. I look around me and I see all this vanity. I say nay, vanity, vanity, vexation of my spirit. Then those things that are not, that's in the spiritual world, I say yea, that's the way it is. See, and I call those things that are not as though they are, not because I hear them, see them, feel them, think them, whatever, but because I know that's what God said. I know that's what God said. And as it was said to the woman, great is thy faith, woman. When the Lord said, you can't have this bread, it belongs to the children. That is, I'm come to the Jews. You know, she said, yea, Lord, but the dogs eat of the crumbs. She knew that those that were without were counted dogs and counted swines, as to a symbolic thing in that day, because all of them were not dogs and swine. God was only using a symbolic thing as to the church to come to the Gentile church to let the Jews know that they could be dogs and swines too. that it was not as of to a nationality as only to a typical sense it was, but that with all humanity, that God came to all humanity to say, let whosoever will. And the ones that would come, such as the Canaanite woman, then she found a purification of heart because her faith was that even though you say, nay, Lord, I say, I am going to stay here. I've got to have help. And that kind of persistence, that kind of importunity, it broke the Lord down, as we say, to the extent that he knew that belonged to him. And he said, great is thy faith, woman, just whatever you will. See, and so then we realize that the error of the whole thing is faith. And that's why it is death to be carnally minded, because there is no faith in the carnal mind. There is no faith in God. There's no relation to God. The carnal mind is only a reflector like a mirror, vanity. Vanity of vanities. And Satan is the mind of all of this world, as to the atomic particles, as to the prince of the powers of the air, as in the minds of the children of disobedience, are the children of darkness. And the Bible said, ye shall not see light, as to that of your understanding. When light cometh, ye shall not see it. For ye are children of darkness, you are creatures of darkness, you are confined to the darkness. Satan is the spirit of darkness, and that entire darkness is where you live. And the only reason that you have any light as all, as to the blessings of God, is because the blood is on the seat of atonement and the rain is upon the just and the unjust, or the grace of God having taken away the sins of the world for this dispensational hour of dispensational grace, then you have this wonderful blessing as to a chance to slip in and hear and know about this wonderful thing to be in heaven. See, and that's only for a dispensation. All right, so just as quick as the days of the Gentiles is over, as quick as these lights went off in the darkness come, that's the way it'll be. That will be it. See, you are a creature of death. You are a creature of darkness. You are a creature that knows nothing of life. All of your thoughts is to the world and to the frolics of the world and to the natural things of the world, to the love of the world, to the doings of the world. And you don't know that it's darkness, because the light of God is here right now as to you as a reflector, reflecting this light of the children of God, the church, which is the light of the world, are that light from that wonderful throne of God as to the head of this church that someday will come for the members of his body. You are reflecting that as to the grace over you. And I explained this morning why that had to be over you, so we won't try to go into that. How that they got the benefit out of children. So then we know that after the flood, as we say, when the children came, as to the generation continuing on down to our day, we know then that as to Isaac, he was the father of both. And Isaac, the seed, was to be called. But how is it that the seed of the serpent came? For the children wrestling within the womb, and the mother saying, why am I thus? And the Lord saying, because there is two nations within your bowels. And said, the younger shall rule over the older, for the older or elder shall serve the younger. And the strength of the younger shall prevail above the elder. So then we know that though we are the younger, because we are born again as to the second birth. And we know that the first man, as to first man Adam, as to them that of the world as of today, as to the body, it was born first. It's the firstborn that came into the world. But we know that the secondborn, which is Christ, as to the Jacob, will overpower the Esau of our life, and that outer man must decrease as to the inner man increasing. And so then, we realize that with this, that we as the younger, as the new birth, as the them that have been born again, will rule over all presidents, rule over all leaders, all queens, all great philosophers, that they will be nothing more than servants. Because our understanding, our mind will so excel them until they will be like a little bunch of babies. They won't even be able to make conversation with us. If you think they can, go out there and start talking spiritual things and see if they're literally baffled. They don't even know how to answer you, even with all of their philosophy and with all of their diplomacy. So, out of the loins of Isaac, how did it happen? as to the seed of the serpent. The same way that I explained this morning, Jesus made himself twain. He made one man as to the image, as to the seed of the serpent, and was hung up on Calvary as to show the brazen serpent to make an end of that thing. See, to do away with that all of the bites of the serpent might not be there anymore. Because as to the law, as to knowledge, sin gets its strength by the law as to knowledge, and thus we are tormented by spirits until we're really born again and consider the word of God and learn that that is dead. And it's Paul who had that problem. He said, when I would do good, evil is always present with me. It aggravated Paul. He said, in the good that I would do, he said, I don't do it. And the evil that I would not do, and the thing I hate, said, I always do that. So the good that I would do, I do not. The evil that I would not, that I do. Oh, wretched man that I am, he said, who shall deliver me from the body of this death? He said, who shall deliver me from the body of this death? I'm a wretched man. See, because these things are constant. There is a continual warfare between the body and the spirit, because the body is the old serpent. The body is the old bastard child. The body is self-esteem. The body wants the world. The body wants money. The body wants attention. The body wants to be presented and manifested as to whether its face is pretty or whatever. You know? So then we see that the war is constantly there. It's constantly there. Like I come in here, I preach to you, and one of the problems is I'll run across an old serpent. He'll stick his head up out of the hole and I have to hit him on the head. See, or he'll come crawling around. He's in there because when the sons of God come to present themselves, so comes Satan in the body of humanity as to the old generation of vipers. So then there is a serpent seed in the world today, and that serpent seed can be recognized. How can it be recognized? As the two coming forth, as the twins, these twins being born, one will be carnally minded, one will be spiritually minded. Even from a child, one will have an inclination toward the things of God and the things that are spiritual and the things that are decent and the things that are holy and the things that are godly. And even though he gets caught with the rest of the problem as to the traffic, yet all down through his life there's something different about him. You can tell as when a proper child is born into the world. See, some, you can tell the difference. That is a serpent seed. That intellectual mind, it can't restrain itself from passions. It's just got to get to passions and intermingle as man and woman together, just like an old hog eating slop. And they pass by one another as to a man and a woman. They spend so much time with their face, with their body. See, the devil's already got them, because when you start spending time with the body, that's the devil to begin with. Satan savors the things that be of the flesh. Somebody would say, well, Brother Pike, how far does this thing go? How deep does this thing go? It goes this deep. But all Peter did was look at the Lord. And looking at the Lord said, nay, Lord, no one's going to hurt you. And Jesus said, of the devil. Get thee behind me, Satan. The carnal mind is of the devil. See, it's of the devil. So that means that you can tell the serpent seed, because it's as religious as Cain was. It's got all kind of thoughts. It tells all kind of things. It just talks about religion and it's going to do all kind of things. But underneath, outside, hiding, oh, that is to say, within that flesh is that old slimy thing of that old carnal lust. And they just pass by one another in this generation, a generation, an evil generation, that lust is after each other. I saw a man and a woman tonight. I saw the man coming in. He didn't see me, but I saw him and I saw the woman, a young man and a young woman. And he just stood for a few minutes so she could get a good look. And she just took her good look. Isn't that something here in the church? Oh, no. Somebody said, but what if I told the wife that? See, and vice versa. What if I told the husband some of these things that I see? Now, you're talking about war in heaven. I don't know about war in heaven, but we'd have war at Bethlehem. So there's one thing about it. You need to understand. If you're going to look at the things of God, you need to know what to say and what not to say and when to say it. You don't need to be so exuberant as a novice to run out here and, bless God, you take out your sword, as we say, and you whittle that thing down and you tell them where they are and what they are and how it's going to be. All you'll do is get somebody's throat cut or get somebody killed. All right, some of them, well, how do you deal with that, just like I dealt with it? Somebody said, well, nobody don't know. One of the reasons that most people don't know is because all of them's guilty of the same thing. Let's give the Lord a hand. But they know who they are. You can be sure they know. Five people come into your presence One of them had just murdered a little girl, and you say, hey, there's a murderer standing here. Don't you think they'd know? Sure, they know. You wouldn't have to call no name. All right, so we see then that the serpent seed, it comes from the same family. How can that be? Because here Adam was, he had, as to the mind of God, through the illumination. Then all of a sudden, here comes the serpent seed mind is through Eve, and now he's got both of them. Then he's double-minded. Out of the garden he goes, because faith will not work in a double-minded person. For a double-minded person is unstable in all of their ways. And the Bible said, let not that man think that he shall receive anything of God. So then we know that through the same family comes the serpent seed and comes the true seed of Christ. If that be true. And of course, if you can prove it's not true, that's the thing you need to do. You need to get me out of a rut, if you call it a rut. But I'll let you know it's not a rut. But anyway, as to your thinking. So what can we do? What can we do? Do we really have a serpent seed today? We certainly do. It might be one of your natural brothers and one of your natural sisters. And even Paul said, I was in peril of, when it came to come down to the spirit, of false brothers and sisters. So could it be that maybe your own brother, your own child, your dad, your mother, someone else might be the seed of the serpent? Who knows? Somebody said, well, you can't tell. The Bible said you can tell a child by its doing. Can you tell the difference between a snake and a bird? So then, looking through the eyes of understanding, you can tell the difference. Now, sometimes a babe can't. A babe can't tell the difference. It's liable to reach over. As I saw a film one time with a little baby wanted to play with a snake. He thought it was so pretty. It was a little thing. He didn't know nothing. And every time he reached for it, it'd pop its fangs in him. And like I told you the other night, speaking of this, that it was a hideous thing. The little fella would almost freeze up in a little while. He was dead because it was a deadly cobra. See, he just wanted to play. Yeah, that's a hideous thought anyway. It's like somebody was telling me the other day that some kind of all well, and they put a man down into this all well, and all of a sudden he didn't come back. Put another man down, he didn't come back. Put the third man down, and when he got down, he began to snatch on the rope. And when they got him, they said, there is a python or whatever it is. Whatever it is, it swallows these things. Python, I believe it is. Yeah, there's a boa constrictor, there's a python, whatever. But anyway, he said this thing about 30 feet long and had a huge mouth. Now, I've seen some like that. You might not have never seen anything like that, but I've seen one as big as a telephone pole, maybe 36 feet. But anyway, he just opened his mouth when they went down there and just swallowed them. Swallowed the first one, opened his mouth. Swallowed the second one because they can swallow a whole can. And when the third one got down there, he snatched the rope just in time for them to get him up. And when they got the thing out of there, it was 30 feet long. They ripped him open and there was the men on the inside. See, that's where the problem is. Some of you have already been swallowed up. The old serpent has already literally swallowed you up. And you're not as fortunate as Jonah was. When the whale swallowed him, they got him out. Or he spit him out. He wasn't very good to appetite, so he spit him out. But nevertheless, that was a great phenomenal miracle that represented the Lord Jesus Christ in the heart of the earth. See, so we know then that the serpent seed is around. He is around. Up there eating today, while I sat there and I ate today, just before I ate, I was in the anointing, still in the anointing when I left, because sometimes it takes a long time for me to get out from under, you know, as to come back into a reality of what I'm doing. And I was standing there almost frozen. I was looking around. And as I stood there looking around, and I could hear the Lord talking to me, and I thought, dear God, the serpent seed, I see it all around me here. It's all around me. You know, and they were just people. And they were just happy and eating and like eating and drinking in the last days and lust and all these kind of things. And there it was. I could see them so plain. And I thought, Lord, we're supposed to be tender to people. And I know that. And we're supposed to try to help people. And Lord, and I want to. But then I was standing there like that as the way that the Lord saw that. And I thought, but God, these are snakes. These are deadly snakes that are stealing souls and causing people to be eternally doomed and damned in a lake of fire. Vicious. That all are on their bellies because their belly craves it of them. And that the Bible said, and God put the serpent on his belly. And it took me for a while when I began to eat, because I hadn't eaten anything. And when I began to eat, and I just, you know, you get the adrenaline flowing in the blood, going back to the natural energy. And then after that, you just a bunch of folks. You know, you see a bunch of folks and you're just one of them. But anyway, I said that to say this, that there is within the world today the serpent seed. But it is not as to coming down as a natural individual through a natural family. I've said this before. You take as to a natural family. Let's just look at it once again. If it's coming down through Cain as a natural family, then we know that there's not a drop of a mother's blood in the child. I brought this out before. There's not a drop of her blood. Now, if there is none of her blood, then that means that there is not any of that life that comes from her. It comes from the dead. She's only a carrier. She's a field, just like you plant corn out here in the field. All right, now, so we know that. We know that Jesus, it had to be that way, because if there had been one drop of his mother's blood within him, then the whole plan of God would have been void, because all men's hearts are fashioned alike, as to whether they went astray after Satan as an Adam, all die, are fashioned alike through new birth, to go after Jesus that they all might live. Death, sin, death by one man, life, righteousness by another man. See, and by the regeneration. So we know then that the seed is life as to natural life from Adam. And we know that in Adam all die because the infiltration of Lucifer as to the mind of the tree of knowledge had already entered into Adam. But we know that in Christ, when Lucifer came, Jesus said, "The prince of this world cometh, he hath nothing in me." He never could get into Jesus. He reviled Jesus. He persecuted Jesus. He spit on Jesus. He'd done everything he could, but not one time did Jesus ever rise up in his heart. He always remained the same. And that new blood cell with that new life as to eternal life, that could never perish because there was no corruption, then there it was. Went down into the chambers of hell. Hell couldn't hold him because there was nothing to charge against him. The grave couldn't hold him. Corruption couldn't get him because there was nothing that he had done that it would tend unto corruption. See, being our example, and not only that, but being us as to death, that we might be him in life. So we see that the serpent seed, as to the life, had it come from Cain, we look at it like this. Then that means that if Cain had married a woman, or if his descendants as the sons had married a woman, it would always, always have been the serpent seed to a reproduction. Always. If the man had married a woman, say even if Cain had married one of Adam's daughters, and Adam being the right kind of person, what kind of person would the person have been that would have been born of Adam's daughter? It would have been a serpent seed, because the husband was the serpent seed. You understand what I'm saying? So that means that even until our day, that every family in the world that was born to the serpent seed would reproduce 100% serpent seeds. There would not be a child of God in the family. If that be true, how can a murderer be born in a family and a son of God be born in a family? How can that be? All of that family would be rotten and evil. And then on the other hand, would there be any need for blood atonement as to Jesus, as to the regeneration? Why would there be? Because all of them would be sons of God to begin with, for Adam was not in the transgression. See, so we've got to realize that as to Adam's sons, it would all be the same as to the seed of Christ. But folks, it didn't like that. It's not like that at all. See, it's not like that. Life, this power got into Adam. Or how else can all die in Adam? It got into Adam just like it did Eve. Someone would say, well, the Bible don't teach that. The Bible does teach that. But somebody says, but the Bible said Adam was not in the transgression. That's right, as to the original transgression. But the Bible does say that all have sinned and come short of the glory of God. Where does that put Adam? So that means that it is like I told you, it is as to those two powers, as to a spiritual mind of the world, of the tree of knowledge, for a mind and a spirit is the world. And that world was in the children and descendants of Adam. It was in them because they failed from the garden, because they were not born again. They were only illuminated. They lost that illumination, and then Adam fell to the level of the beast. So in Adam all die. He had to do with that serpent body. He was the head of that serpent body. As to the beginning of the generation of vipers. And when John came, he laid the axe to the root of the tree, and he cut down that family tree all the way back to the garden. And then the tree of life came. And when the tree of life came, as to Jesus said, if they do this in a green tree. And so the tree of life came. And when this tree of life came, then came those that would eat of the tree of life that was not the generation of vipers, because Jesus coming down as a headship over the Jews, and the Jews having to do with that under the law as to Adam. Then when Jesus came, it was said there in the garden that, and the seed of the woman shall bruise the head of the serpent. And so then when the seed of the woman came, which was Christ, and that within the body of Jesus, which was righteous, then the body of Jesus for your sake and my sake was made, you and me, are us as human beings, as to that of the fall of that sin. And the Christ on the inside took that body, subjected that body to suffering, and his countenance was marred more than any man. And then the seed of the woman, which was the Christ on the inside, a spiritual thing again, picked that body up, took it up to Calvary, and bruised its head with the thorns. And so then death came. He smote the serpent in the head. And as the old saying goes, the tail is still dying and doesn't die till the sun goes down or reaches way over here somewhere over in the end of the world, where Revelation said, and he curled his tail around a third part of the stars and throwed them down to the earth and trampled on them. Okay, now, so we see that this is where we're at. And the Bible said the wicked cannot even sit in the congregation of the righteous. If people that are wicked and wretched in their minds come into the service, they can't sit there. They've got to get up and leave. They've got to go somewhere. They've got to do something, unless God suffers it, that they don't, can't tell anything about what you're saying. Now, they might sit there and eat, chew bubble gum and whatever, you know, and drink soda pop or slip it in or whatever they do. You know, and they might be able to stay there by not listening. They may be there a little while, but after a while they're gone like that. And if they don't leave immediately, they are restless. They're to and fro in their minds, and they're to and fro as in their bodies. They got to go. They got to get up. They can't. See, the old serpent seed, for the seed of the woman will bruise the head. David's little sling with his sling of faith, as we say, and the little rock is to the stone of the word, that was hewed out of the mountain. It struck the giant as to the opposition. That is to say that man is made a little lower than the angels. So the giants represented fallen angels that were in power during that day when these great, wonderful children of God were overthrown. As to natural giants, natural church. Spiritual giants, spiritual church. Natural Jew, spiritual Jew. So then we see that the seed of the serpent is around. It's around. But it could be your brother in the natural. It could be your sister in the natural. It could be in the spiritual realm as a false brother and sister that's reflecting religion, that's more religious acting than you are. See, so the seed of the serpent is here. But the seed of the serpent, as I said, comes all together as through the man. And that is, as in this world, the perspective. That is the woman perspective, the perspective as to the feminine part. See, so the woman is only a type. That's all. The woman is only a type, but the man, he represents the flesh as to the headship of the flesh, and the woman is nothing more than his body, that in the man there's neither male nor female. So the flesh is the feminine part, and God is the eternal spirit, and Satan is a spirit, and both of those powers entered into the flesh as to the man, and that's why there's a continual warfare. That's why Esau and Jacob wrestled over the birthright, and that is today we're still wrestling over the birthright. See, and the world says that the government is to rule over the church. The church says that the government of the church is to rule over the state. So then, we have, as to a settlement in the new world, as we call it, which is America, separation of church and state. Now, you know, that's a joke. Because there's a separation of church and state to this extent, that every time the church wants to do something, the state says, well, you can't do that. You know, this is our part of it. But every time they want to do anything, they lord over the church. And they say, your humanity, you're going to have to pay taxes. That's why Jesus said, I'll bring them into the high courts for treason. Because, Peter, they're taking this as strangers. We don't belong to this world. We're strangers. We're pilgrims. We're seeking a city whose builder and maker is God. And I'll get them for conspiracy one of these days. And I'll make them pay for this in that they've taken my children into bondage. When all I said to them was, let us pass through your land, Esau. We're headed to Canaan. We're not going to bother you. We'll pay our way. We'll work. We'll do whatever. You know, but we're headed for Canaan. No, they say, we're going to make slaves out of you. Going to make bondage, children of bondage out of you. Then all of a sudden, God rises up and he gets upset and he says, smite them and take their land and just keep on going. All right. So we realize that Satan is wearing the saints of God out, but it's time now for the saints to start rising and taking the kingdom. They're going to know who they are. They're going to know what they are. They're going to know that they're filled with power and the devil is nothing but a bluff. He's a squatter and God's going to run a heavenly abstract and put them off of this land because all things are yours. For the Bible said the kingdoms of this world have become the kingdoms of God and of his Christ, and he shall reign forever and ever. That is to say, we already have the kingdom of God on the inside, but new birth. But this life is to be made manifest in the mortal genes so that in the manifestation of this, we can take over the world. Because Paul said, if I've sown unto you spiritual things, then shouldn't I reap of your carnal? If others be partakers of these, am I not the more? So then we realize that we are preordained to take over the world. And just as the councils are giving what they're giving up yonder as to the legislation of the legislated acts as to government and parliament, so are we in parliament. And we are legislatively doing this too. So somebody would say, well, that's conspiracy. It's true that there is a conspiracy. And they can put you in the federal penitentiary for conspiracy. But the conspiracy is not on our part. We're not the conspirators. They are the conspirators because this world belongs to us and our Heavenly Father and everything in it. And they are the ones that's in conspiracy to try to take it away from us, and they're a deceitful underworld sort of a thing. And they've conspired against God and they've conspired against humanity as to the children of God. And they've turned the whole world into a hog pen and dog vomit. And they're pressing and pushing and magnify themselves, and the Bible said the serpent has climbed up into the upper lintel and he is ruling over the children of God. That's where the conspiracy is, and someday God will bring them into the high courts because of their conspiracy. Alright, so then we see that we are now, beloved, the sons of God. Though it doth not yet appear what we shall be, yet we know that when he appears, we shall be like him. For we shall see him as he is. And every man that hath this hope within himself purifies himself even as he is pure. As to the faith of Jesus Christ by which we are sanctified. All right, so there's a lot of things that we'd like to say here. But you can see just with these few little things, that if we just could get into those wonderful things, even as it was today, even after I left, and the anointing still are so brilliant, so bright, so wonderful just to get into those things, how wonderful it would be. Is it that the serpent seed got across the flood? Sure it did. Somebody said, well, how did it do it? It's like as to when a man of God says, by the woman, sure. How? By Noah. By Noah the flesh, which was the woman. It came over. Sure it did. But when somebody speaks as in a certain realm, if you don't understand, then you can't say anything about it. Because you don't know what you're talking about. See, it came over all right. It came over as the spirit of the devil. And I say again, somebody would say, well, Brother Pike, surely to God, you don't believe that Noah had the spirit of the devil. I believe that Noah had a continual warfare. And I believe it was enough that he got drunk after he'd made the trip. After he went through all them years with God, done all them things for God, and the ark was filled up with everything that God wanted to preserve. He had done down to the T what God wanted him to do. But then he went out and fulfilled what the Lord said. There just ain't none good, no, not one. God looked down and saw that man's heart was continually evil. And knew then and there that he was going to have to put his spirit within man's heart, kill that body of the beast, get that thing out of his sight, and let it be dead. And he just carried on the sacrifices of blood, atonement until the Reformation, as to the time, as to when the seed would come, as to Isaac, and Isaac shall all nations be blessed, as to that time when he would bless us, and then would be the fullness of time. That would end that thing as to the beast. I say that in a compound way because I can't take time to break it down and detail it. But this is what I'm saying, folks. See, the continual warfare, that devil is there. When that child is born into the world, there are two minds wrestling. Two minds. And if the wrong mind, as to the lust of the flesh and the love of the world and the desire of filthy talk and filthy thoughts and all these things of passion, if this overcomes the better reasoning of this child, and this child grows up with this as to a development, then it's the devil. It's the seed of the serpent. Like Jesus said, Judas says to the devil, one of you is the devil. But if that mind overpowered the other mind and it puts the flesh down and it puts the world down and it turned to God to mortify the deeds of the flesh, and the Bible says they that are suffering in the flesh will cease from sin, then when it comes to that, if it goes that way as to raise up in the mind of the Lord Jesus Christ, then is it the seed of God? It's the son and daughter of God. And so then that's where it comes in. So at Bethlehem, what are we doing? We're preaching the word. Twins are born. Who? One of this and one of that. Because the rain is upon the just and the unjust, and some of you are of the devil, and some of you are of God. And every time the sons of God come, as to you that are looking, listening, you that are here, whatever. See, around the world it goes, as to the gospel to every creature, that all may be guilty and that all have a chance. God's not unrighteous. He gives everybody a chance. Gives grace so that they can get free long enough to find out that this is real. All right, so then we know that them to whom we speak, some of them are sons of God. Some of them are the seed of the serpent. They're the beast. Some of them are brute beasts made to be taken and burned. All right, so you see then, folks, that right here at Bethlehem or wherever, when the sons of God come to present themselves before God, then the judgment comes. For judgment begins at the house of God, and the judgment is committed to the Son. And here, whosoever sins we remit shall be remitted. Whosoever sins we retain shall be retained. And what we bind on earth will be bound in heaven. What we loose on earth shall be loosed in heaven. So when you come, you're coming to the judgment. As to faith in whatever is being said, if it is the voice of God, then you're in trouble if you disbelieve it, just like Eve. So you go to the old tree of knowledge, which means your human reasoning as to individuality, saying that you belong to the old tree that John cut down, that is cut down and to be made manifest before long, that it was cut down and that the life as to Christ has gone from it, and that it is a parasite thing and it's dying all the time. From the roots up, it's dying. Let's stand together. The Lord said unto Israel, Israel, why will you die? Why will you die? Be careful, because your best friend may be the serpent. Maybe the body of the serpent. Be careful. You have a continual warfare. One's going to win out. Either the inner you or the outer you. And if the worm ever hits the core, the apple's no good. Right now it's just a few little bruises. You can cut them off. But if you keep on, the Bible said, thy worm Jacob. You keep on and you'll find out that you are the worm, and not as that as to go through the metamorphosis as to the leaving of the cocoon for the butterflies of the heavenly world. But you'll find out that you're the old earthbound worm, as an earthworm. Like a vision I had of somebody, the man and the wife left us, went off. I told him, I said, the man ain't straight. Of course, the man went away. Came back and went away. I saw him when he went away. The first time, and in a vision, I saw him out of the dark. And he and his wife had a little bucket going along, and they were pulling worms out of the ground. Pulling earthworms out of the ground. And, of course, it proved out to be just that way. They finally went away again. And of course, it went that way until the end came. But anyway, see, in the darkness, in the intellectual reasoning of the darkness, just collecting worms. Because if I come here in the intellectual darkness and my motive isn't right, I'm just going to pull worms out of the earth. That's all I'm going to do. Just like your spirit crawls out of that body every once in a while, it shows its hoary head, if it isn't the Spirit of Christ. You understand what I'm saying? So if you are a serpent seed, then you're doomed for an eternal darkness. And if you are a child of light, then you are predestined to that wonderful world of God, that wonderful world of light. How beautiful it is. We are children of light. we shall never come into condemnation nor darkness. It would be horrible just thinking now if you stood here and all of a sudden you thought, oh my God, I'm going blind. Nobody can help me. The doctor says, I'm sorry. And there you are. You're a creature of darkness to the natural sight as to a type. For as to them that are blinded, as to the eyes of their understanding, they cannot see the world of light. And that would be horrible. That would be horrible. But thank God he's with us. He helps us. He walks with us. The way that some of you use your eyes as to the lust of the flesh and always staring into a TV and whatever. People are just going blind everywhere. Things happening to them everywhere. And the kind of foods, it's killing them. Putting their sight out. You don't know how precious your sight is. You don't know how precious life is. And you play around with it and listen to Satan. And soon it's gone. You say, oh God, I've changed my mind. I've changed my mind, Lord. Judas, throw the money down. I've changed my mind. It's too late. Esau, I didn't mean it like that. It's too late. The birthright is gone. Folks, you need to listen. You really need to pay attention. You really need to get in here. And while there is time, Jesus said, work while it is light. While the grace is still here, the blood on the seat of atonement, while the light is coming down on the just and the unjust, as to give time to see as to repentance. Work while it's light or while it's day. For soon the night cometh and no man can work. That is to say, you cannot work the works of God once grace is lifted, because that's the end of your opportunity to repent. And everything is intellectual darkness, and you'll gnaw your tongue for pain. You'll curse the God of heaven, and no matter what happens, it won't make any difference. You'll still curse God. The pain will be so severe, but you won't call on God. You'll curse him. All right, let's sing a little chorus together. At the cross, at the cross, where we first saw the light, and the burdens of our heart rolled away. It was there by faith I received my sight, and now I am happy all the day. Sing that with me. For at the cross, where I first saw the light, and the burden of my heart rolled away. It was there by faith I received my sight, and now I am happy all the day. Oh, there's room at the cross for you. Oh, there's room at the cross for you. Although many have come, there is still room for one. There is room at the cross for you. I need thee, Lord. I need thee. Every hour I need thee. And I need thee now, precious Savior. Once again, so let Jesus send to who stay for old, how you'll need him just to plead your cause on that eternal day. Listen to Jesus and hear his loving voice, and don't turn him away. Come in to my heart, oh come in to my heart, just come in to my heart, Lord Jesus, just come in. And come in to stay, come in to my heart, Lord Jesus. Let's sing this little chorus, Brother Taylor. Jesus gave her water, and it was not from the well. Jesus gave her water, and she went forth to tell. She went away singing, and she came back bringing others to the water that wasn't. Jesus gave her water. Oh, Jesus gave her water. She went forth to tell. She went away singing, and she came back bringing others to the water that wasn't from the well. Jesus gave her the water. It wasn't from man's well. Jesus gave her some water, and she went forth to tell. She went away singing, and she came back to bring others to the water. It wasn't from the well. Can you give him a hand? Jesus gave us some water that wasn't from a man's well. Hallelujah. Let's sing another little chorus, Brother Taylor. Come.
Gone, the stone is rolled back, gone, and the tomb, it's empty, gone, to sit at my Father's side. For he's gone, all the death triumph gone, sin is defeated, gone, and he lives forevermore. For he's gone, and empty, gone, to sit at my Father's side. Oh, he's gone, all for death triumphed, gone, sin is defeated, gone, and he lives forever.
Let's sing another chorus or two before we go.
Where will you be a million years from now? Will you be singing? Will you be happy? Why? I ask this question
just one life to live on earth, and it swiftly passes by. From the moment of our birth until it's time to die, God has given us this choice to decide our destiny in a million years. Where will you be?
Sing that with me now.
Where will you be a million years from now? Will you be happy? Will you be singing while the ages flow throughout eternity? I ask this question, where will you?
Let's sing this little chorus.
When we stand upon the mountain, looking over the city, gives me faith that I can make it after all.
Can you sing it with me?
Far after all, life is over, and my burdens I've lifted, and I stand upon the mountain, oh, so cold, looking over into the city that my Lord said he's preparing, gives me faith that I can make it after all. Far after all, life is over, and my friends stand upon that mountain, oh, so looking over into the city that my Lord said he's preparing, gives me faith that I can make it after all.
One more time.
Far after all, this life is over, and my burdens have lifted, and I stand upon the mountain, also looking over into the city that my Lord said he's preparing, gives me grace, and I can make it after all. The holy hills of heaven call me to mansions bright across the seas, where loved ones wait and crowns are given, and the hills are home keep calling me.
This house of clay is but a prison and bars of bones. They hold my soul, but the doors of clay is gonna burst wide open when the angels set my spirit free. Take my flight like the mighty eagle when the hills of old start calling me. I see loved ones over yonder. Their tears are gone and their hearts are free. And from the throne my Savior beckons, and the hills are old, they're calling me. This house of flesh, it's but a prison and bars of bone. They hold my soul, but the doors of clay's gonna burst wide open when the angels come, set my spirit free. I'll take my flight like the mighty eagle when the hills are falling. I'll take my flight like the mighty eagle when the hills are gone, start calling me. I will praise Him. Now, if you've never given your heart to God, now's the time. Now's the time to make the great commitment. I remind you so often, Paul said, I'm persuaded to believe that God is able to keep that which I've committed again to Him against that great day. And if you've never made that commitment to God, as you've given God your soul, don't put it off and don't procrastinate, because it's a matter of eternal life. It's a matter of eternal youth and health. It's a matter of eternal riches, the eternal knowledge of God that excels the greatest of understanding in this world so far, that as the heavens is high above the earth, so is the knowledge of God above man's understanding. So don't put it off. Now is the time. Someone would say, well, it's not time for me, Brother Pike, but the Bible says today is the day of salvation. Now is the accepted time. Take no thought for tomorrow. For tomorrow will take thought for the things of itself. You don't know whether you'll be here tomorrow or not. Someone would say, well, I'm young, Brother Pike. I've got plenty of time. You'll go by the graveyard. You'll see little graves and big graves. You'll find out young girls and boys fill it, as well as old men and women. And you know the beautiful part of it is when you're born again, you don't ever die anyway. I've elaborated on that quite a number of times, but never like I'd really like to elaborate on it. But we're going to become more convinced as we go down the trail. We'll get more and more choked off of the world, and we'll leave off with it more and more. I only hope here at Bethlehem that it won't be taken away from you. You know, I've seen it in places where God tried and tried, and then finally He would leave them alone. And I hope it won't be that way here, because I love everybody around the world, but I love the people of Bethlehem. And I've seen some of you grow into the wonderful things of God. I've seen you do that. I like this as a man standing here right now. He's very remorseful. Very remorseful. Not because he don't have an opportunity, but because he has so many times put Christ down, being so diligent toward God, and then just put him down overnight, just within a moment, to go after the lust of the flesh, all the things of the world. And he's just about made his faith shipwreck. And now he wonders, he's ashamed of himself, and he hates himself because he did Christ such evil deeds. And now he wonders if he even has a chance anymore. Or if he does seem to have an experience with God, will it be a stability, or just a few days from now be back in the same old mire? Well, I've said this before, I still say it, folks, and that is, you can't serve God without His Spirit. You have to be born again. Unless you're born again, you can't even see the kingdom of heaven, because the kingdom of heaven is a spiritual thing, and you're translated into it through the mind of the Lord Jesus. And if you are the elect of God, then you will come to it. If you're not, if you're the serpent seed, you won't come to it. You won't do it. You'll always find an excuse. You'll always find a reason. You'll always have a love for those things in the world, and you won't want to give them up, and you won't put them down, and you won't turn them away. And even if you get illuminated long enough to make as to a repentance, you still won't find the birthright, because it doesn't come through repentance. It's by predestination. But if you are of the elect of God, and everybody has their own opportunity, everybody has a sovereignty, God predestinates, but the only thing He predestinates according to your sovereignty, by foreknowledge, that is to say, you're elect according to foreknowledge, about what He foreknew that you would be and what you would do when you got into this world, as to your wretched decision or as to your God decision. And He appointed it accordingly, and thus it is sealed as to your doom or as to your eternal future with Christ. Because He knows what you're going to do when you come to repent. He foresaw the day that you came to repent. He foresaw the following days as to whenever, when you went back out into the world. He foresaw when you come back. He foresaw when you left again. And if He foresaw you down at the end of the trail, lost and undone without God, then He foresaw you and predestinated you to hell. Oh, when He saw the in and out and up and down and don't care sort of a spirit, He knew that you was the serpent seed, that you could never be Christ because of no stability. Let not that man think that he received anything of God. So he just marked the name out of the book of life. We sing that little chorus, time shall be no more, no more, no more. Time shall be no more. And then I remind you that Calvary was the end of the world. And as I was trying to bring out a few things this morning, which is on tape, I would so much have liked to have had the patience as from you and the time as to bringing forth those wonderful, marvelous things that could have been revealed as to what we were saying. But nevertheless, we just have to get out a little bit and go along and trust that God will give us another day, and trust that God won't take it away from us, but that He'll be merciful to us, because He doesn't have to do anything. You know, He's God. He can do anything He wants to. Let's sing that little chorus. Can we, friend? For time shall be no more, no more, and time shall be no more. For the angel, he'll stand on the sea and land, and shall be. Sing it with me again. For time shall be no more, no more, and time shall be no more. For the angel, he'll stand on the sea and the land, and time shall be in the fullness of time, and time in the fullness of time. God sent forth His Son, made under the law, made of a woman, to redeem them that was under the law, to remove the curse. The angels swear by him that liveth forever and ever that time should be no more. For the Bible said it in the fullness of time, at the time of the promise drew near. As to the reformation, when the seed should come, as to whom the promise was made. For God gathered all things in heaven and earth into the body of his Son, the Lord Jesus Christ. He never comes to anything anymore except through the blood. And time shall be no more, no more. And time shall be no more. For the angel will stand on the sea and the land, and time shall be no more. For time shall be no more, no more, and time shall be. For the angel, he'll stand on the sea and land, and time shall be no more. And I will pray. I'm going to ask Willie to come up and dismiss us. While Willie's coming, think it over. Just close your eyes. Lift your hands up. Love the Lord Jesus. Just love him. Isn't it wonderful to be a Christian? To feel the consolation, the tranquility, the peace of God? To know that when you lay down on your bed at night, there's no way you can die. Some people die in their sleep. There's no way you can die. But you lay down at night, you go to sleep, and in the event that you don't wake up in the morning, you're still asleep. You're still asleep. One day Jesus will come and wake you up. But you don't have to worry about dying. He that is born of God cannot sin nor die. But when you lay down at night, if you don't know God and if you don't have the life of Christ Jesus, then you might die during the night and then pass on over and go into another place. Die as to your spirit separating from God Almighty. But when you are a Christian, you lay down at night and you have Christ within your spirit, within your heart, and together you rest through the night. And them that are asleep in Christ, he will bring with them when he comes. For it death, as you call it, the sleep, the spirit goeth back to God who gave it. And as it was said of the rich man, in hell he lifted up his eyes, but as it was said of Lazarus, and the angels carried him to Abraham's bosom. And the rich man looked across a great gulf, and he saw Lazarus in Abraham's bosom. Where are you at tonight? Your spirit is in one spirit or another. It is in one world or another. Where are you tonight? The Lord said, Adam, where art thou? Where art thou? Lost, undone. Where art thou? This generation, naked, wretched, and blind, without the body of Christ, put ye on the Lord Jesus Christ, the wedding garment. I will praise him. My will praise him. Praise.